Of course, right in the middle of setting up a show. Please restart to install updates. This is Pure Decking for February 14th, 2015. Not 2014. Pardon me, sir. Do you have the year? The show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and breathing heavily into the television. I'm Morps, and tonight we have RU and BSV.
I'm confused at how breathing at the TV does anything.
Many more questions will answer be later in the show.
Yeah. We're just trying to make the people listening in uncomfortable. So I suggest rude language, you know. The things you want to say things into your smart TV pretty much along the same lines as things you would teach other people's parrots to say. You know, I mean, if I knew somebody that had a talking bird that's alone with and get it to say things like, let me out of this box, let me out of this box.
My owner stashes drugs in my cage. Like that.
Teach it to talk like it's got a ball gag in its mouth. You know, just things that'll make other people uncomfortable is really what you're going for here.
Nice. So,
I am currently drinking a bit of Devil's Cut, and then I'm going to be switching back over to my tea, since I'm not sure if it's coming through or not, but my throat is killing me. So we'll see how far I make it on the show tonight. What are you drinking, man?
I was going to be drinking a beer, but man, I tied one on last night and I don't feel well. It's 2:00 in the afternoon. I'm still feeling pretty crappy.
Yeah.
So maybe after the show, I will gingerly grab a beer and see how we go.
Half our staff was out of work, out sick from work pretty much all last week. So it's no surprise here. BSV, what do you got, man?
Usual angry urchin.
You and your, you know, pissing off of farms. So, anyways, a little bit of station news. I am going to be completely redesigning the website. I pretty much don't want to use WordPress anymore. So, that will be in the works. And all the shows that haven't been posted are going to be in the new system. So,
what's that, like 10 now?
It's actually getting up there, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had the problem with, after we swapped the broadcast box, all the shows got recorded into waves, and I haven't re-encoded them into MP3s because it's just been, I didn't notice it at first, and it's like, wow, these are taking forever to upload. Oh.
Your file is 6 gig.
Yeah, pretty much, and I've just got a mess I need to clean up, and it'll just be easier to start with a fresh system. So what's going to end up happening is all the old shows are going to end up in archive folders, and I'll just have them linked somewhere, and then the new RSS system will pick up with the current shows, and it should actually be easier because I'll be able to put other shows on the stream without having to give people FTP access, for one thing. So, it'll work out. It'll actually be a hell of a lot easier, I think, in the long run. So might be another week or so of the website being kind of a static dead thing, but I am going to try to work on it in the background. So who wants to make the bad Russia joke before we hop into talking about Samsung TVs here?
No,
nobody wants to say in Soviet Russia TV watches you.
You just said it, defeating the whole purpose of not having the joke.
Well, it's you know. Okay. So, in case you've been living under a rock, it's probably not a good idea to buy a smart TV right now.
Tell us why, Morps.
Because it's listening to you masturbate. In all seriousness, this kind of blew up when people figured out that in Samsung's privacy agreement for their smart TV, where it has the voice commands for it, it says not to say anything sensitive in front of the TV because it may be shared with our partners.
No, it will be. It states it will be shared with a third party.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who that third party is. But when watching the article and seeing it explode and everyone like, oh shit, my TV's, you know, listening to me. And then all Samsung coming out going, well, it's only after you say microphone on that the television starts recording you. And I'm scratching my head going, well, if the microphone's off, how does it realize to check your voice when it's on? And we were talking about it earlier. Turns out the microphone's always on.
Yeah.
It's always recording you. When you see microphone on, the only thing it will do is show a little icon of a microphone on the fucking TV.
Well, from a product design standpoint, what they're probably doing is, if you think about it, there's probably a ton of different voice commands for that smart TV. And you don't want, say, a television commercial talking about a movie accidentally buying that movie for you. Well, maybe you do. I don't know, depending on some of this company. Yeah, that's the other thing with a smart TV. The commercial comes on the air and the guy just says, microphone on, buy whatever the movie name. Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
I didn't order those 19 cable pornos. My TV did, Your Honor.
Wow. I just got a fantastic marketing idea and I said it out loud on the show. Fuck. We could have made so much money selling that.
Yeah, but then I would have had to stick a shotgun in your mouth and killed yourself for you. Because Morphs, you just wouldn't be able to live with yourself after it.
And you're making that decision for me, I take it. He just couldn't take it anymore, Your Honor.
I could see it in his eyes. He just didn't have the will himself to do it, but he did not want to live anymore. So he said to make it look close to a suicide as possible, as not to be blamed.
Yeah, he just said that right before he died. No, I didn't record it. We had already shot the TV.
So yeah, we'd already shot the TV, set it on fire, and buried it. And then he couldn't live.
So here's a signed confession in crayon, written in his own blood. Wait.
So what's happening is the microphone is always on. It's just like the Xbox Live stuff, by the way. You know, the whole Xbox whatever, because that actually was that issue where they were advertising the Xbox and people's Xboxes started doing what the commercial said.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
It's the same concept. The microphone is always listening, and it's got a key phrase that keys on. So how does it know when you said that key phrase? Because what all these smart TVs, smart devices really are, there's not enough horsepower in that little device. Your smartphone, like, you know, your Siri or Cortana or the OK Google one, there's not enough horsepower in your phone to do proper voice recognition. So all it's doing is recording and sending it up to their servers to do the processing. Because if anybody's ever played, Ari, you and I were talking about this earlier. Excuse me. If you've ever played with Dragon Naturally Speaking or any of those other voice recognition software that actually runs on your computer, it just destroys the processor to run it because it has to do all this math and pattern matching. So instead, they send it up to, of course, a server cluster, which just knocks that shit right out. But it's constantly sending it up because it's the only way for it to work, because it effectively, a smart TV is basically, it's like a Raspberry. It's a medium to low end, usually ARM CPU with a decent video processor attached to it. So, you know, it's why I like saying it's like a Raspberry, because the Raspberry Pi is a fantastic example where you've got like this little single core 700 megahertz ARM processor attached to a fantastic video decoder, which is why you see people take them and make media center PCs out of them or gaming stations out of them, because it'll, you know, run a HDMI port at full HD TV. But then, you know, so you can watch this movie on it, it looks great, but then when you go try to use any like a Linux desktop on it, it chugs. And that's simply because that initial processor is crap. And so it has to do that processing somewhere else. So by that very nature, that means everything you're saying is being sent off to a third party server. Or that company's server in the case of like your smartphone or whatever, but like these smart TVs, they have to be listening all the time. That's how they work. So, but it's getting silly at this point. So I've got a couple of articles here from The Verge, Samsung smart TVs have already come under fire this week for a poorly worded privacy policy that apparently lets the device listen in on owners' conversations. Now there are reports that the sets are inserting ads every 20 to 30 minutes in the user's own locally stored content. There's been a stream of complaints online by customers using third-party video apps such as Plex and Australia's service Foxtel, with most referring to rogue Pepsi ads interrupting their viewing. After about 15 minutes of watching live TV, the screen goes blank. A 16x9 sized Pepsi ad taking up about half the screen pops up, and it's like a pop-up ad on your TV.
Yeah, and this is why people give me shit, because I still have one of the original Foxtel analog boxes that sits on top. I don't have a digital one, and I might get a fucking digital for that simple fact. The random rogue advertising on a live air program.
Oh, well, they finally got a hold of somebody from Samsung, and they said, yeah, that was a mistake. It wasn't supposed to go out to the Australian market, which means it was supposed to do that. They designed a TV that, even if you're watching your own crap, will still insert commercials.
Yeah, no.
No, and I don't remember having any Pepsi ads in Timmy's first birthday.
Timmy's first birthday brought to you by Pepsi, because fuck you. Yeah, that's really pretty much it, isn't it? Like, oh, you're using the TV. We're selling ads. It's just, damn.
It's like you're having to invent your own Faraday cage around your own head to protect yourself from advertising.
Yeah, that's not what that's going to do. They're going to install that for you and then charge you to look at things. Let's see. So
takes me to that dystopian movie I saw where the guy wakes up first thing, and he just wants to check the news, and he has to watch 8 minutes of ads before he can do anything else, or he pays $100 and he can do what he wants straight away.
What movie was this? I kind of want to watch that now.
I'll find it for you later. It was okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. No, it could have been Full Metal Alchemist or something like that.
No, it was not Full Metal Alchemist.
No, not Full Metal Alchemist. Full Metal Oculus. That's it. I think Oculus. Full Metal
Oculus?
Yeah, I have to ask the major dude. He got me onto it. It's a like an hour. It's a weekly show, and they have different sci-fi dystopian stuff for an hour each week. I can't remember the name of it, but they make them every 2 years, and they're really cool. They're all sorts of different.
Yeah, I Google search it and finding much of anything, because it's all coming up with Full Metal Alchemist stuff.
Yeah, no, I'll try.
So, anyways, cool, I'll look into that. And on top of that, Slate's got an article. To make matters worse, high-level users who want to take their smart TVs apart, see how they work, or attempt to disable or modify the underlying software, for example, to disable the eavesdropping software, or to make closed captions easier to read, or whatever, could face felony charges under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. That's because most smart TVs on the market have technological measures to prevent users from accessing or modifying the firmware in order to prevent illegal copying and distribution of copyrighted material. Users could technically face felony charges for circumventing lockdown restrictions, even if the modifications they're trying to make are legal under copyright law. Now, to be really real here, nobody is going to send you to jail for modifying your own TV. It's not worth that kind of policing. They're going to send you to jail if you figure out how to disable the eavesdropping on the Samsung smart TVs and then post how to turn it off online.
That's it there.
Yeah. Yeah, if you figure it out on your own and just do it and that's it, nobody's going to say shit about it, because who's going to know? But, well, it's like, well, actually, they might know. It's like, well, the constant 10 megabytes a month of voice data coming from this TV is suddenly stopped.
Yeah, they call you and up, if you ever do
stop broadcasting, yeah, it's broken.
If you ever do figure out how to get around the LG Smart TV's licensing agreement by just pushing in, changing it from residential to industrial, don't tell anyone.
Yeah, because the moment you're distributing that information, you're giving information on how to violate copyright or whatever the hell. So my point in covering this, and the reason I was trying to explain that these are very low-end processors that are sending off all of the actual work to servers on the internet, is because it's more important than you've got to understand how all this crap works. You just have to, because even if the company running it and everything is on the up and up and they're not doing anything horrible and they're not saving your conversations or using it to build customer profiles or even doing anything beyond what it's supposed to do, which is simple voice search, what if it gets hacked? What if somebody else gets a hold of it? What if the perfect angelic company that you've been doing business with that's running your smart devices gets bought by, I don't know, Comcast, you know, some horrible company? And then suddenly, that's why I'm going over it. That's why I'm saying, you know, it's a small computer hitting a big computer on the internet to do this, because that way you understand that your data has to leave your house to get processed. And oh, that's why you and I were going on and on about the fact that the microphone is always on. It's because it has to be. That's how it has to work. Yep. Otherwise, how does it know when you've said something? And it's not because I think Samsung is doing anything terrible. I mean, they're not eating babies. They're putting advertisements on a glowing box. But it's annoying.
No, man, it's almost the same. Eating babies, advertising that wasn't wanted.
Yeah, yes, because a Pepsi advert is totally akin to eating that newborn.
I don't value human life that high. My discomfort rating is pretty up there compared to my valuing human life and me being disrupted.
So, my point here is, they might not be doing anything horrible with it now, but what about a year from now? What about 5 years from now? Or what about when they get hacked? Like, Anthem got hacked a couple of weeks ago. That's one of the biggest health insurance providers in the States, right? And 30,000 some odd accounts compromised. Well, private details compromised, not so much accounts. Name, address, phone number, income, occupation. Yeah. So even if everything is perfect on the up and up and they follow their privacy policy to the letter and their privacy policy doesn't have things like don't have intimate conversations in front of the television, which is why I suggest breathing heavily into the TV or making other lewd noises, because you really want to make whoever has to listen to that shit uncomfortable. I mean, make it work for it.
You really want to have fun, get an audio copier of Mein Kampf, and when you leave your house, just plug it in and play it all day.
Take the television apart, find the microphone, and solder in a headphone jack into it. That way you don't even have to play Mein Kampf on the loudspeaker. You just... There's a device from the old phone freaking days that you can still find this stuff. You go search, textfiles.com, search for it. It's called a blotto box. And it was for ensuring that telemarketers would never, ever call you back. It's a little harder to build these days because most phones are digital. But it could still work for this kind of thing. A blotto box was simply feeding a feedback signal back into the microphone on your phone, and it was wired up in such a way that you didn't hear it, only the person on the other end heard it. Because it was a device in your phone line. It wasn't in the phone, and it would do this at a couple hundred decibels. And if you have some poor telemarketer schmuck who's got a headset on, they're not going to be able to rip that headset off fast enough, and probably have permanent ear damage. This is back when telephone systems were analog. Now it's all digital, so there's a good chance that there'll be something in the way to keep it from being horrible.
That loud, yeah.
But for the most part, humans aren't actually going to be listening to your smart TV conversation. It's going to be algorithms, so they're going to be keying on shit you're saying. So if you can rig up a circuit so that whenever you're not, doing your search, say you're hitting a button somewhere to flip it back over to the actual microphone, it's just playing some horrible high-pitched tone into it all the time, or random noise, or a local radio station. Think what that's going to do to your analytics.
At that point, you'd get the knock on the door.
You might actually. It's like, sir, you've been modifying your electronic devices. Yeah, they're mine. I can do that. No, actually, we've asked you not to modify.
Yeah, I just put it out there. Because these things all have serial numbers on them. You're all cataloged, and at the checkout when you buy it, plug it in. If it is going through the internet, it has an IP, it has a location. You're pretty vulnerable. It is a security issue if you're worried about location safety.
I'm trying to remember now. There was a Firefox add-on that kind of did the same thing. It would click on every single ad on a page in the background. You'd never see the result of it. It was just fucking with the data analytics people. I'm trying to remember what the name of it was now.
Yeah, no idea of the name of that.
Can't remember now. I'm saying it was like, you know, ad overkill or something like that.
Yeah, no, I can't remember it. If anybody out there can remember it, just randomly type it, the name of it to Saad. Don't say what it's about. Just say the name of it.
Just send him the link.
Yeah, just keep sending him those links. Yeah, one day somebody's going to figure out how to get hold of him. And it is going to freak him the fuck out.
You can send us messages the same way Richard Solomon sends messages to the NSA. Nobody's going to get that joke.
Mind control.
No. Stallman has a message he puts at the top of every email he sends now. It says, to NSA members reading my email, please reconsider whether this is really the best way to protect your country.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, because it shows up on those mailing list posts and shit like that.
That's cool.
But
big hello to the NSA guys today. How you doing?
Yep.
Hi, guys. Hope you had a great Valentine's Day. If you're listening to this, the obvious thing is you didn't, because you're not with anyone. You're forever alone, bastard. And maybe you should reconsider your entire fucking life.
Go home and think about what you've done.
Yep.
All right.
In the corner, maybe drink a lot. Beat the cat.
If you finish out this show, you'll be drinking a lot, because nothing but depressing shit.
It only gets better from here.
So, first news story we have is from BBC. Or you sent me this one. Police in Australia have seized 3D printed weapons after a raid on a suburb, Gold City Coast, Queensland. In the suburbs. Yes, they found the cache of weapons in the suburbs.
Okay. Mind you, those suburbs where they did find the suspected cache of weapons used to be heavily patrolled by biker gangs and were very nice suburbs. Thanks for getting rid of the biker gangs, Mr. Newman. Now we have gang wars going on where people are getting shot every day.
The
fucking
hall.
Great man.
Really, the hall included plastic knuckle dusters and what are suspected to be gun parts. What are suspected to be printed gun parts? They're Legos, people. Okay, in all fairness, the picture of the brass knuckles there, although I guess it'd be plastic knuckles.
Plastic knuckles.
Kind of look cool. I'm questioning their effectiveness, but still look cool.
You might get one or two decent hits with it.
Well, I don't know. ABS is pretty strong stuff.
I mean, if you sharpened up those sides, left it... They did definitely do a bit of damage instead of rounding it off.
Oh, sure.
But I just don't think they're going to have the weight in them that good brass knuckles carry with them to, you know, really deliver that fractured jaw feeling.
Yeah.
I just don't think they'd have the weight.
I agree. I think they'd be a hell of a lot easier to break, too.
Maybe drill them out and fill them with lead.
I don't see any reason you couldn't.
Yeah.
If confirmed, the state's police force has said it would be the first time it has discovered 3D printed firearm components at a home. The Australian authorities have released a series of videos in 2013 highlighting the dangers of using 3D printed guns. We're obviously trying to get it through our ballistics experts, but we can identify most, if not all, the major components of a weapon. Detective Inspector Scott Knowles of Queensland Police Service told ABC News following the arrest of a 28-year-old suspect in... Are you help me out with that one?
Where am I looking? Hold on. I don't need show notes.
You don't have
mud.
I don't have the show notes up.
But
I've got Mudrabah.
Cool. Mudrabah. Sort of like Agrabah.
I didn't even see the word. I'm just guessing from what you said.
Yeah, close enough. To us, it appears that they are complete weapons just requiring assembly. The technology is dangerous because the materials used aren't able to sustain the forces that come as a result of the weapons they're trying to discharge. Okay. He added that the owner of the printer thought to have been involved, had given the machine to the suspect to be calibrated, and was not aware that it was going to be misused. Last year, Australia Senate held an inquiry into gun-related violence, including which there were calls for the country's laws to be updated to take account of new technologies. We're going to have a situation where someone is going to be shot and injured with the use of a 3D device.
How about them shot and injured with a real gun?
Okay. Any gun is, in fact, by definition, a 3D device. I know what they mean, but that's not what they're saying. In fact, I'm pretty sure that while we have 2D objects in existence, they're rather rare and used in manufacturing. So,
I have a 2D gun.
Yeah, a 2D gun. How would you hold it? How would you hold a 2D gun?
In one dimension.
Fox, how would you hold a 2D gun?
A 2D gun?
You know, without losing any fingers.
With my penis.
By losing your penis, very well. Oh. Okay.
Crap, now how am I going to open jars?
What the fuck?
It is a great hard jar opening object, though. You stretch that skin right out over mm-hmm. it and give that extra leverage. And really push.
When the freshness seal pops up.
Yep.
So, anyways, hang on a second here, Fox. Show notes if you want them. Just going into the chat. We're talking about Australia seizing 3D printed guns. Well, specifically, the picture is of 3D printed knuckle dusters, which is kind of cool, except Art, you and I were both kind of questioning the usefulness of them.
Mm. But, I'm just confused.
I can hit you once and this will shatter, but...
Worry about the plastic knuckles, since I'm sure anybody with basic knowledge could make a one out of metal.
You would need a Dremel, a power drill, a piece of brass, and some time.
Shit, not even that. All you would need is like an aluminum forge that you can make out of like concrete.
Well, I just
drop cast that shit.
I just love everybody losing their fucking mind over 3D printers, where any well-stocked machine shop has been able to do everything they're concerned about since the 50s.
Since CNC shops were a thing.
Yeah, I mean...
But man, we're in the future now, right? Like, so everybody's violent when they're printing stuff?
But no, they're doing it off the internet. That means they could download a car!
Fuck now, you. You think I wouldn't download a car? Those things are expensive.
Download the shit out of a car.
Isn't there a guy printing a Ferrari?
There is.
Trying,
actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, there was a guy... There was a guy who 3D printed a fully working car, and they had pictures of Joe Biden in it. And it came out later that they had asked him to disable it because Joe Biden would have fucked something up with it if it would, you know, if it actually worked.
Wow.
He had to buy.
And Heavy, if you are listening, that's two actuallys now in this story. Morps is.
Oh,
just
fuck,
to be counting. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. No, call me on that shit, man. I want to get it right. I am absolutely not going to get upset if you call me on a misuse of language.
I just wanted to have fun with that.
Well, it's a filler word. I should not be using it. It's not a good word. I mean, actually, is like basically. It's one of those filler words that should not be there.
Anyway, I derailed it enough.
Let's see.
Back to 3D printing.
Well, I don't really have anything else to say about it other than this is fucking stupid.
It's a stupid rule.
I don't understand what their big... trying to put the kibosh on 3D printing is even about.
Let me ask you this, though. Was that the only thing this guy was charged with? Was he had 3D printed some knuckle dusters and some objects that might have been parts of guns?
Yeah, he's probably brown as well.
So
just saying.
So
or Lebanese.
I'm trying to figure out what the crime here was.
Our weapons laws are very strict.
Yeah.
You can't have a screwdriver in your car without a permit. Like,
yeah.
But if my car breaks down,
a third-year apprentice butcher who lost his driver's license for drink driving was walking home from second shift at the abattoir and now has weapons charges because he had knives with him.
This is the retardation.
Did he do anything with the knives?
They were in a bag and everything. Sorry? No, he was charged with armed in public. Because he was armed in public.
Because he had knives in a bag.
He was transporting them in the correct manner. They should have been in a vehicle.
Fox, if we ever go to Australia, you're going to need to help me, because you've been there. You're going to need to help me go through my daily carry bags. Because yeah. I'm not sure what in there will be that will actually be legal.
Well, I was probably breaking most laws walking around with my multi-tool and flashlight while I was down there.
Remember all
the
stairs you got when it was showing on your hip that night when we went out for dinner?
Yeah.
Like in the bar?
Yeah.
And you're why are they looking at my multi-tool? I'm like, your arm, dude.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
A multi-tool is not armed.
No,
it's
got a knife
in blade.
It.
Doesn't
You'll
matter.
Get decked in the face before you can stab anybody with that thing.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You're armed.
I keep a little.
It comes down.
Okay, maybe 2 inch.
Gerber, it also comes down by the way of the attitude that you have. If you're a dick, you're getting charged. If you're like, oh well, I didn't realize. Sorry, I'm a tourist. Yeah, I did not know. My apologies. Here you go.
I'm an American. What?
Yeah.
You're getting upset over a pocket knife?
This is Australia. This isn't even considered a knife here. This isn't a crocodile Dundee.
I'm quoting a well-known Australian man when I say this.
Oh, you are getting locked the fuck up for quoting that guy.
No, that's only if I quoted that guy, offered him a Foster's, and I would told him I'd barbecue him some large shrimp.
Yeah, yeah. You're a fucking tased officer down country then, man.
You see, the knifey spoony joke isn't a joke anymore. All they have are spoons.
Oh.
Careful, BSD. Spoon is a dangerous object.
Oh, it could be worse. It could be the UK where you can't even buy plastic utensils without an 18-plus card. Seriously, man, the plastic steak knives you buy for your disposable barbecues... you cannot purchase those knives if you're under the age of 18.
So what do they do if somebody picks up a stick? I mean...
Sticks are illegal. Sticks are banned.
Weapon of mass destruction. It all depends on how big a dick you are to the officer and what really
or
brought
how
their
dark
attention
you
to
are.
You. We were armed in that car constantly within... Mm-hmm. Arms reach. If we got pulled over by the cops, they would have been given them no reason to search the vehicle anyway, because we would have been polite, courteous, and not get in their face. It's when you start being a wanker or being a fuckwit that's what gets you tased.
But okay, I understand that. I understand that they're looking for something else, but it's like, oh yeah, and we found a pocket knife on them. Well, so fucking what?
Just because you have rights doesn't mean you can use them. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
That's
screaming that you have rights to the police officer's face while he's trying to detain you labels you in the fuckwit category.
It's
you know what I mean?
Contempt in the cop heart. Make the
yeah, exactly.
Chase.
Just give him the fucking knife. You can buy another one. It saves going to court on possibly prison or fines. You know, let him confiscate it. It's your right to have it. Yes, I understand, and the law's a bit sketchy about what's arming yourself and what's going armed in public. Be polite, hand it over, say you're sorry, go buy a fuck another one, and hide it better on your persons this time as not to be seen as the cops drive past you carrying a fucking 40-inch Bush's knife.
But I might need that, especially if it's a flipping Australian outback.
Okay, so tell me why you think it's okay for you to walk down... a suburban shopping mall carrying a fucking machete that you didn't just purchase.
Yeah.
Why is that okay?
Have I made any threatening actions with the machete? Have I done anything other than have it on my hip?
No, but it makes people nervous. But the simple fact that mental illness is rampant within the world's communities right now, you just don't know when someone's going to go mental, man.
I don't think somebody going mental needs any kind of weapon to do damage. I mean, people's hands. it's called being beaten to death.
I just want to say the whole caring about other people being nervous is what's causing all the other bullshit in society now.
Look, I'll argue the right not to be armed in public all the time, and for the cops to pick people up who are carrying machetes and shit like that around. But if you've got a multi-tool on your hip, that shouldn't be a charge. If you've got working tools in your car that for a hobby or something, you should not be charged. But if you go walking down the street with a fucking machete without a damn good fucking reason, or it's not sheathed, or you're not dressed like you're going to do gardening, I don't want you in my community. Get the fuck out.
There's some YouTube videos I need to show you of the people exercising their right to bear arms.
Yeah, and they're all fuckwit category. They should have been shot, put down instantly.
You know, well, the ones that are reading from the scripts, yeah. who don't understand what they're actually doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to go to a costuming thing, and I need to get, like, some brown fur and claws and just make sleeves so I can walk around with my bare arms.
Nice.
I have rights! I have rights, damn it!
No, everyone knows my stance on firearms and weapons, and I just don't like them. And having a person that having been stabbed twice, I don't like being stabbed. It's not fun.
Well, you shoot them before they can stab you.
Make sure they understand they brought a knife to a gunfight.
Ah, the American way. Bomb them into the ground, steal their money, and call it a job well done. Well, at least our cops don't have the right to pull you over. Go, oh, look, you have $500. I bet you're buying drugs. Give me your $500. I'd rather hand over my knife than my $500.
What flavor Slurpee is that? We're taking that too. all right. Next story up is from ArsTechnica.com. Microsoft just patched a 15-year-old bug that in some cases allows attackers to take complete control of PCs running all supported versions of Windows. The crucial vulnerability will remain unpatched in Windows Server 2003, leaving that version wide open for the remaining 5 months. Microsoft pledged to continue supporting it. The flaw, which took Microsoft more than a year to fix, affects all users who connect to business, corporate, or anything with Active Directory, basically. I'm going to quit reading the article and just paraphrase here. When you have a Windows network and all of your Windows machines are connected to Active Directory, that means there's a set of servers that they're connecting to pull permissions, user information, policy, so on and so forth. And the way it actually locates these objects on the network is called UNC, Universal Pathing. And Universal Naming Convention is what UNC paths actually stand for. And the Windows, up until this last patch set, didn't do any verification on these servers. If they had the right name, it took it. So there are a couple of common UNC paths for things that are Active Directory related, that when your computer first comes on and logs in, it will try to connect to see if it's on the domain or not and to see if any of your policies have changed. And it didn't do any checking, so somebody who took a laptop to a different network, if you knew what their domain was, or you happened to be doing some packet sniffing and you just waited for the next group policy pull, you could totally load it up with policies and login scripts and whatever the hell else and just take over their machine.
Nice. Well done, Windows. Finally patching it.
Exploit, not, we can fly a 747 through.
No, but here's the thing. It's not enough just to patch it. You still have to go turn the new feature on. So you're going to have a lot of people apply that patch, not turn it on, and then be confused as to why they still got pwned.
So wow. The patch doesn't seal it. It puts up a door that they don't close.
It adds a feature, and then the feature has to be enabled. Yes.
Uh, And Microsoft wonders why people hate it so.
Actually, on the security front, Microsoft's been doing a lot better than some companies, but that's only because they got beaten into the ground so badly on the early XP days. They kind of had to. So, anyways.
They tried.
They tried. And it's not a bad fix. It's just annoying that the way they did it is instead of fixing the problem, they added a new feature that you have to turn on. So I'm trying to get this shit turned on at work, and we've got people who are terrified of change. So now we have to build out entire test domains just to show that it's okay. Is it going to make login take longer? Yeah, probably a second or two. It's okay. No, it's not. That's a whole second. World. Yeah, pretty much. Yay. Like, yeah, can we have our cake and eat it too, please?
Yes. Damn it. Cake's still baking in the oven? Come on right in.
And you wonder why everyone hates security. Changing things all the time.
Don't actually care anymore. 1,
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, password.
Like, yeah, you know what? I'm totally okay being the bad guy. Internet supervillain. Fine. I don't care. Do I need to start speaking in a bad fake German accent? I'll do it.
And how long did it take you to get out of?
They have making you change your passwords.
It took you ages to stop doing that at the new job. Don't start doing it again. They look at you funny, remember? No, you can't wear the cape, Mr. Supervillain. I don't care how high up you are in the corporation,
but
you're not wearing
your
cape.
But what about the mask? It's a good-looking mask.
It is a good-looking mask.
And the,
I like
and
that
a
mask.
Big, fake, curly Q mustache.
We took the mustache off the mask because it looks stupid. all right. Next one up is from Wall Street Journal. You can finally notice that you have the qualifying word finally in there, which means somebody was waiting on it. You can finally decide what happens to your Facebook account when you die.
Oh, thank God.
So how does Facebook know when you've died? This you know, I have burning questions like this. I mean, is
press
are they
A
monitoring?
To pay respect.
Are they watching your smartphone? And it's like, oh, we quit hearing the heavy breathing.
No, you just see when you log in and go to your settings. There's a
I'm dead. More,
there's I'm alive, or you can toggle it to I died.
But of course, this gets reset every time they do a security change. So.
I got better.
Also, too, not notifying them that you're dead is a policy violation, and you will have your account stripped away.
In a change of heart, the world's most popular social network began allowing its members to designate someone who what they call a legacy contact to legacy contact.
Dear John, I realized you died a couple of days ago. I just thought I'd message you to let you know how much I miss you. Is that what it's for?
I'm not sure. To manage parts of their accounts posthumously.
I can't see this going at all wrong.
No.
Members could also choose to have their presence deleted entirely. Facebook and other internet services walk a difficult tightrope between respecting the privacy of the deceased. Okay, the deceased don't have privacy. The families of the deceased. And
it's Facebook.
The
no one has privacy, period.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the demands of grieving friends and family. Previously, Facebook automatically froze the accounts of members it learned had died, angering some heirs who wanted to edit the deceased's online presence. It will roll out the new option to members of in the U.S. on Thursday, so I'm guessing that's already happened, with others to follow later. Asking us to make plans for the digital afterlife may sound morbid, but it can bring clarity to an issue that's both legally and emotionally challenging. In 2013, Google became the first major internet company to allow users to select digital heirs for its Gmail, cloud service, storage, and other services, dubbed inactive account managers.
Wow.
Why don't we just start calling these people Reapers? I mean, come on.
That's what it's going to come down to. They're just trying to be... you know, as politically correct as possible. That's what it's going to come down to.
Facebook legacy contacts will be able to manage accounts in a way that it can turn the deceased person's Facebook page into a kind of digital gravestone.
Oh, jeez.
John is now dead. Shit. John is now a huge fan of Cox.
Excuse me. Oh.
So when this gets activated, does your that little wall feature I know they have on Facebook turn to your digital gravestone?
I have no idea. I mean, and what happens if you have somebody who just thinks it'd be funny as a prank to, you know, go into your Facebook page because they're your you know, dead account manager and or your legacy contact, and they declare you dead, and then you start making posts on there. Is that ghost posting? I mean, how does this,
ghost is that posting?
Like ghost, is that like ghost
posting? No, I actually declared myself dead that day. And it was a ghost post, so I can't be responsible for messaging that 12-year-old girl. You know, what the hell, dude? Ghost posting?
I currently identify as a corpse.
Oh, God, nice. Here come the Tumblrites.
If you're just mucking around, you declare yourself dead, do all your utilities just then get shut off?
I don't know. I mean,
hey, Heavy, try that.
No, but I can... yeah,
let us
I
know how
really...
that goes for you.
I can see a webcam in a coffin with some lights, and all of a sudden the page just starts updating photos.
Once a week.
Yeah.
The same dead corpse from different angles.
Oh, can you guys rig that up for me?
Yeah.
On my own death URL with a camera inside there.
I'm thinking we need to make a fake Facebook account and just have people pose at funeral homes and occasionally change the person in the coffin just to mess with people.
Weekend at Bernie style.
You know, make sure when they first die, they have a big fluffy beard, and then like, you know, a weekend clean shaven.
Nice.
Different hair color.
Eyes are slightly open. Out of place.
Occasionally, you know, have a picture of somebody wearing a ski mask, you know, holding a shovel, and your watch occasionally show up.
Today's newspaper every day. Just so they know somebody's messing with the corpse.
Rearrange the position every once in a while.
In bed, animatron.
Like the camera caught you scratching your nose.
In bed, animatronics into the eyes, and then fake eyes, so that every now and again it's looking at the camera.
I'll get Madman right onto it.
He would do it. Well, we need to ask him to occasionally bruise his forehead like he tried to sit up. Okay. Next story up is from Ars Technica. California has tentatively approved Comcast's $45.2 billion acquisition of Time Warner Cable. But Comcast isn't entirely happy because of some of the conditions demanded by the state create a more intrusive regulatory regime. Comcast called California's state government a regime. I just want to point this out.
Well, I mean, there can only be one Führer, and that's going to be Comcast.
The proposed approval with conditions came yesterday from Public Utilities Commission Administrative Law Judge Carl Beamstiffer.
Nice name.
Yeah. Comcast Executive VP David Cohen quickly wrote a response criticizing Bimsteffer's proposed conditions. We're reviewing the proposed decision and conditions closely and look forward to engaging with the full California Public Utilities Commission as it completes its review of the transaction, Cohen wrote. Well, we have just received the recommended decision. It appears that a number of the conditions are ones that will benefit customers and the company can work with. Some of the suggested conditions, however, could potentially prevent the full benefits of this transaction from being realized by Californians and create a more intrusive regulatory regime where innovative services could be hampered rather than helped. In addition, at least some of the suggested conditions simply lie outside of the authority of CPUP or are unrealistic. I imagine that's exactly how he was saying that. Possibly with a different accent. The only specific conditions Cohen pointed to cover how quickly Comcast must bring broadband to underserved populations. Comcast offers $10 per month internet to poor people throughout its Internet Essentials program, which was required by its 2011 acquisition of NBC Universal. This drives me nuts. I'm going to stop right here. This net neutrality bullshit, this drives me nuts because you've got the government saying to Comcast, you will provide, you know, cheap-ass services to poor people. As opposed to simply allowing competition to drive prices down, they set up a monopoly and then regulate the tar out of it. This never works. It's just, if you've got a monopoly, you got to do something about it, but this is not the way to fix it. California wants Comcast to expand the eligibility for this program, offer it through Time Warner Cable territory, and double download speeds to 10 megabits per second. And double download speed. Wow, that means their current poor people program is 5 megabit per second. Provide free Wi-Fi routers, connect schools and libraries in underserved areas, and sign up at least 45% of eligible households within 2 years. Comcast must submit specific plans for signing up more low-income subscribers, reduce wait times, make the sign-up process less difficult. Consumer advocates complained in July 2014 that only about 11% of eligible households in California were getting the discount internet service because of how difficult it is to sign up. Comcast says the penetration goal is unrealistic.
Raising. So Comcast is pretty much whining that they have to not rake money in hand over fist. They actually have to spend a little bit of money if they want their monopoly in California.
Well, they're complaining because the government is telling them that you're going to offer services for $10 a month. You're going to have to give away all this stuff if you want us to approve this merger with Time Warner Cable. And that's kind of the thing. What you have here is government meddling. People trying to get, you know, they're trying to tell Comcast to run things the way they want things to run without any understanding of how Comcast works. But
I'm not sure Comcast know how it works.
No, exactly. Nobody understands how it works because it doesn't work. But the point is you've got these people meddling, right? And saying, oh no, if you want us to approve this merger, you're going to have to do all these other things, which are basically the government telling a company you will do a welfare program. But Comcast has got so much control, it might as well be a utility or part of the government, which is why I'm not a fan of net neutrality, because net neutrality is just going to lock in these big ISPs as effectively part of the government, because they're going to do just like big companies do in every other part of the government, and, you know, control the committees and the people who are appointed to it and just spend god-awful amounts of money on the government as opposed to, I don't know, competing and improving their services.
You are correct, sir.
So, yeah, not a big fan of the net neutrality crap. I'd really like to see government stay out of it entirely. That means getting it out of where it is now, currently. That's the problem. That's why you don't have a lot of competition, is you can't set up a competing cable company in most states. You just simply can't do it by fiat. So, yeah, it's an old argument. We've been over that a million times.
Yep.
So, anyways,
we're talking about that, man. Everything we covered is just shit every week.
I'm actually really tired of seeing the same shit every week. I'm having a hard time putting together the show notes because I'm having a hard time finding stuff that's different, that's new.
Something that's not people's interests when it's the same thing every week, just formatted differently and packaged in a different box.
It's like, here's more depressing bullshit about how the world is fucked up. Here's your handgun, put it in the mouth, and suck start. I mean,
it's just...
I'm getting such a bad callus on my upper lip from my front sight.
It's just like government policy. They just keep putting the same bills through until they pass.
Pretty much. Next story up is from BusinessInsider.com. The Twitter account of Twitter CFO Anthony Noto has been hacked. So the chief financial officer for Twitter had his Twitter account hacked. Noto's account appears to be tweeting spammy links to other users. The former Goldman banker who led Twitter's IPO, Noto joined Twitter last summer. In November, he accidentally tweeted what was supposed to be a direct message about acquiring a company. He later deleted the tweet, so the guy doesn't know how to use his company's own product. And there was an update. Twitter suspended the account and deleted all the spam tweets. So that's really funny that not even the people who work at Twitter can keep their accounts from getting hacked.
Did his account actually get hacked, or did he leave his phone logged in.
They didn't
Twitter
say.
Somewhere.
They just said spam links just started showing up out of his account, and then they suspended it.
Hi, I'm a huge fan of cock, and my name is Anthony Noto.
I haven't seen the latest Archer episode.
I haven't seen the latest season. I haven't started watching it yet. I need to.
It's got its some of the earlier episodes have their moments. So, the last story I have up for tonight, torrentfreak.com. Andreas Norm, one of the Mega Upload employees indicted by the United States, has pled guilty and been sentenced to a year in prison. Norm signed a plea deal that admitted he personally downloaded copyright infringing files from Mega sites. After 3 years of relative inaction in the criminal case against Mega Upload and seven of its employees, heated up this week. Just a few days ago, the U.S. authorities arrested Andreas Norm, one of the indicted Mega Upload defendants. The 36-year-old programmer had been living in the Netherlands, but came to the States to take a plea deal.
Why?
The Department of Justice just announced that Norm pleaded guilty to criminal copyright infringement and was sentenced to a year and a day in prison. Copyright infringement is a civil... Anyways. According to DOJ statement, Norm acknowledged that he was aware that copyright infringing content was stored on Mega Upload's website, including copyright protection, motion pictures, and television programs, some of which contained the FBI anti-privacy warning. Whoop-de-doo. Norm also admitted that he personally downloaded copyright infringing files from the Mega websites. Norm continued to participate in the Mega conspiracy. The statement continues. So... wait a minute. Authorities are happy with their first victory in the case and determined to bring over other defense to the U.S. as well. So, okay. Guy was in the Netherlands. Apparently decided of his own accord to come back to the States, plead guilty, and go to jail for a year. That
versus having his dick amputated with a fucking spoon.
I mean, this sounds like... I mean, and to admit that, yes, I was downloading stuff, and yes, I was participating in the Mega conspiracy... does that not sound like somebody who's
the worst?
Possibly.
Just quick question: does he have family in the States?
Probably.
Yeah. There's your answer.
I'm just looking at this, right? And that's fucking weird to just, you know, come over, turn yourself in, and give them everything they want. Did I miss something here?
I mean, he's got family in the States, and they started having financial problems.
Yeah, something. I mean,
this also screams a lot of propaganda, kind of.
Could be horseshit too.
Yeah, like, does this guy actually exist? Yeah. Or are they just putting out statements so that they look good? I don't know.
No, he exists.
All you people that are hiding overseas, trying to get away from our anti-piracy shit. This guy came over. Look, he only went to here for. You know,
wait till the Trans-Pacific Partnership gets ratified. Go look that up if you want to see some fun shit.
Nope. Don't want that to happen.
I'm pretty sure our entire operation for Galaxy 15 would, under that thing, would land me in jail. And I don't even know why. I'm just assuming it. Like, why? You made derogatory statements on your show.
It goes away. That pretty much will make us expeditable to any country that we have caused offense to.
Free vacation in North Korea? No,
North Korea aren't signing up to it, so we would be subject to the
It'd be the EU anti-defamation internet stuff where you can't, you know, bullying on the internet. It's like, you were bullying people on your show. No, I wasn't. I was calling morons morons.
Bullying if it's factual.
I'm reading other people's news articles and then laughing at them. What do you want me to do? Stop it.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Not nice.
You have an intelligent idea. That's a criminal offense.
Yeah. That's about right there. All right. Well, let's do another criminal offense and do this. So, how many culturally insensitive points do I get for that one?
Over 9,000.
So, what I have for Digital Dojo tonight is pretty cool. There's a website called shellcheck.net. Shellcheck is a static analysis and linting tool for SSH or Bash scripts. It's mainly focused on handling typical beginner and intermediate level syntax errors and pitfalls where the shell just gives cryptic error messages or strange behavior, but it can also report on a few more advanced issues and corner cases that cause delayed failures. It's written in Haskell. The source code's on GitHub, so you can do it through the website. You copy and paste your shell script into it, and it'll give you a good hint. It is mostly looking for typos and then common, like, you know, not closing off, you know, both ends of a string kind of thing or wrong formatting. But you can download it, run it locally for stuff you don't want to sit, run through their website. And apparently he's got instructions on his website for integrating it into Vim or Emacs, so you can actually have it check your shell scripts as you write them.
That is cool.
That's cool. That's very
and
cool.
And he's giving it away? Even yeah. cooler. Get two internet rubber chickens. That is cool.
Fox, he's giving that stuff away. Fox, you ever had to do much in the way of shell scripting?
Thank God, no.
Nah. I have, and Bash, compared to some other languages, Bash can be a little bit cryptic at times because its formatting is a bit different.
Like, as far as I ever ended up getting into Linux was like installation and configuration, and even going in on some of those things, try to get something to work was enough of a pain in the ass, let alone trying to learn something, you know, more advanced and generalized installation. I think this would really help. Like, hey, this is why your shit's not working. You know, you yeah. forgot a semicolon on line 35.
Well, usually that error shows up on line 36, and you got to go up and it says unexpected on line 36. Oh, I missed a semicolon on 35, which is really fun when you have a bunch of white space and other crap in the way, and then you got to really figure out where you missed it. But yeah, this is similar to that, but it's for Bash, and I don't really recall seeing a lot in the way of helpful software for Bash, so I thought I would point this one out. And the fact that you can download it and run it locally is badass. So, anyways, that's all I got for tonight. My throat's about to give out, so...
Holy shit, 1 hour exact. You didn't go over this week.
Well, I've been sick, so I'm trying to... It's like, yep, we're done, because if I talk anymore,
and
I'm going to pay
I'm
for
spent.
It. Yeah, pretty much. Listen to the stream while he's working on it. Going to be redoing the website over the next few weeks here, peer decking every weekend, Friday or Saturday. It's mostly been Saturdays. Lore has shows throughout the week as well. I don't have an exact schedule from him. That's something that'll eventually end up on the revamped website. Of course, the Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the subreddit, the IRC channel, which has been pretty dead lately. And well, that's just the nature of things. So that's all I got tonight. Do you guys want to throw anything out, or am I hitting the button here?
I'm pretty
push
good.
Push the button.